This evening, we've been asked to recount, let us say, share our memories of our spiritual master, the founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, His Divine Grace, Om Vishnu Pad, Paramahansa Parivachakacharya, Ushkutara Sata Sri Srimad, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. On these days, the appearance day of our Divine Master, and tomorrow the disappearance day of our spiritual master, we extend our deep gratitude to him. We reconfirm our vows of service to him, and we pledge ourselves to him forever after. With great expectation, we look forward to nitya seva, or eternal service to our master in the spiritual sky. And on such days as this, we take great pleasure in glorifying our spiritual master. Actually, in Krishna consciousness, especially for those of us who speak continuously every day, we find that there are almost unlimited subject matters in Krishna consciousness. Although, as I mentioned the other day, the other morning in Bhagavatam class, Krishna consciousness, of which we understand the essence in Srimad Bhagavatam, really it's about the Lord Prabhuji. It's about the Lord, the devotee, and the process of devotional service. Nevertheless, it's almost mystical how a devotee can take one aspect of the philosophy and speak on it, develop it, embellish it for hours and hours and hours on end. We heard how Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur once spoke on the first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam in Dhaka, now Bangladesh. He described that as the second Vrindavan. It had so many temples when it was flourishing under India's rule in Krishna consciousness. He lectured on the first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam for 3 months. So many subject matters of which we can speak extensively, but I know for myself, and I'm sure it's the same for many of my godbrothers and godsisters, this subject matter, my spiritual master, your spiritual master, be he our Diksha Guru or our Shiksha Guru, he's as dear to all of us as our very life. This is my favorite subject matter. Because it is He, and He alone, by whose mercy I can understand the very process of Krishna consciousness, I can understand the practice of Krishna consciousness, I can understand the goal, I can understand the siddhanta, I can actually enter one day, by His mercy, into the nitya seva of the divine couple, Shishi Radha Madhava, in the spiritual sky. So in essence, He is my be-all and end-all of existence. My spiritual master. He delivered me from the depths of illusion, the ocean of material existence. He's maintaining me in my struggle to advance to the highest perfection in Krishna consciousness. And by His grace, I will one day be delivered. He's my be-all and end-all of my life. One time, Prabhupada said, "I do not know who is Krishna. I only know my Guru Maharaj." And I saw many times how Prabhupada's life itself revolved around his spiritual master. Whenever we would give him credit in our infancy in spiritual life, we learned that essential point of glorifying the spiritual master. It was our greatest joy. I was in the room sometimes when Prabhupada would be glorified, and he would just bow his head in true humility and say, "No, it is all the mercy of my spiritual master, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur." So this is these are the deeper feelings of a Vaishnava. He owes everything to his spiritual master. So this is not the kind of class you have to prepare for. Many of us, we have some mental outline of what we'll speak about in class. Sometimes we have our little notes here and there. No, this is a subject matter of the heart. In this class we can speak from deep realization because we ourselves have experienced what it's like to be saved from the hellish conditions of this world. We know to whom the credit is due. The deep satisfaction that we have in our lives, rendering devotional service, being reinstated in our original constitutional position, jivera supoya krishnera nitya das. We hear about our constitutional position. It's almost a formal English phrase of the previous century. That English was still around in Prabhupada's early days, the British English. This is our constitutional position. You won't find a phrase like that in modern English. Our constitutional position. We know what it means. To give up all the false designations of the body and all that goes along with it. And just to be Krishna's servant. How happy we are being Krishna's servant. And the joy we experience with every day as we make progress on the path of pure devotion. We owe it to our spiritual master, to Srila Prabhupada. We've only been given 1 hour. We already sang for half an hour. How? We could go hours and hours and hours glorifying Srila Prabhupada. Our greatest joy and pleasure. As I mentioned yesterday, I first met Prabhupada through his devotees. I think it's very rare that actually the first person you meet as you enter into the divine life of Krishna consciousness is your spiritual master. Usually you meet his representative, by whose mercy, by the spiritual master's mercy, is also potent enough to convince you to take up this process. I mentioned the other day that I first came in contact with devotees who truly loved Srila Prabhupada, and I mentioned how it was contagious. Because of that short association, only 3 days, living with some Maharajas, I became determined to practice Krishna consciousness. I gave up everything that was near and dear, sold everything I had, which amounted only to about $1,800. All I had, I was just a young boy, teenager, all of my possessions, when I sold them in a yard sale, I put them all out in the front yard, put up a sign for sale. People stopped in their cars. At the end of the day, it all totaled $1,850. You know, boys starting in life. Presented myself at the Detroit Temple. I'd been visiting there after the sannyasi's visit. I'd been visiting there for 6 months or something. And my long hair, my baby beard, you could say, young boy's beard in those days. I knocked on the door, and the temple president, he answered the door. He said, "Oh, Brian, you're here." I said, "Yes, I want to join ISKCON." He said, "I never thought you would join. You have so many things you're doing out there in life and this and that." And I said, "No, I've understood after chanting Hare Krishna and following his principles for some time, it's all nonsense. I don't want to come in." Within 15 minutes, I was shaved up. That's how fast it was in those days. While they were shaving me up, my former wife, they were putting her in a sari, and within 30 minutes, we were sitting in the evening Bhagavad Gita class. With Kunti Mala, Tilak. This process is very quick. It acts very quickly in the heart. We were talking about procrastinating. There was no time to procrastinate in those days. Within 3 days, I was asked to give my first Bhagavatam class. I'm serious. 72 hours later, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Krishna's blue. He has a peacock feather. He wears a yellow dhoti. And he plays the flute. Is there any questions? Maybe a little more than 10 days later, Mother Sitala, who used to preach to me when I was coming to the temple, maybe she can set the date straight. Within a very short time, I was the Sankirtan leader taking the Harinam party out. Things move very quickly. At least it seemed like that. When you're doing something you don't like, time moves very slow. When you're doing things that you enjoy, time moves very quickly. I'm speaking about something that took place over 35 years ago, but really it seems like just it was yesterday. Such is this wonderful process of Krishna consciousness, just like yesterday. Time has flown by because this is the most relishable thing, service to Guru and Ganga, our constitutional position. Within a month or so, Srila Prabhupada visited the Detroit temple. It was something everyone was waiting for. Those were the days. I think one of my god sisters wrote a book, Prabhupada is Coming. That was such a wonderful thing when Prabhupada would come. The whole temple would be renovated, everything was new and fresh, and etc., etc. And because I don't have so much time, Prabhupada came. It was a wonderful visit. Just captured my heart with his scholarly lectures, devotional lectures on the Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita. He endeared me by his perfect example in Krishna consciousness. He charmed me by his devotion to the Lord. Whatever surrender was not there was there at the end of Prabhupada's visits. And when he was walking out of the temple to leave and go in a car, I was already feeling deep separation. I hadn't got to meet him personally. In fact, I didn't get initiated. I'd been a devotee for 6 or 7 months, and I think you had to be like 8 months to get initiated. I was a few days short, shy of the time for initiation. I was devastated. So I ran upstairs, and I'd kept $10 out of the 1,850. Please don't tell my temple president that. I'd kept $10 for emergencies. I thought, I'll give it to Srila Prabhupada. It's all that I had left. So I quickly wrote a note, Dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my most humble obeisances, all glories to you. Thank you so much for coming to the Detroit Temple. I'm a new member in this movement. I'm probably the newest aspiring of your devotees, of your disciples. I just missed initiation. I hope you'll initiate me one day. I love you very much. I miss you. Hare Krishna, Bhakti Brian. And I put it in an envelope, put my $10 in there very carefully, ran down the stairs. Prabhupada was just getting in his car. There was a few hundred devotees around him. And in my novice state of Krishna consciousness, I yelled out, Srila Prabhupada! And everyone froze. And you know, everyone kind of looked around like, what is this? And Prabhupada was there, and he looked around, and everyone was in shock. Prabhupada smiled. And he went, you know how you do. I don't know what is yes or what is no. I don't know. I haven't figured it out yet. indicating I should come forward, I came forward. And it was like the line opened up, and I walked forward. And I was shaking. I said, Srila Prabhupada, this is for you. And he very carefully took it and folded it and put it in his kirtab pocket. And he smiled, and then they closed the door, and boom, the car. I thought that was the end there. I felt satisfied I'd given a personal gift to Prabhupada. Lo and behold, a couple of weeks later, maybe 2 or 3 weeks later, we heard the conch. And in those days in the Detroit temple, if some letter arrived for a letter from Prabhupada arrived for one of the devotees in the temple, then we would all, the conch would blow and all the devotees would assemble in this sort of like living room. As you just walked in the temple off to the left, there was a little room there, so we would assemble, and then the devotee, if he wanted, he would read the letter. So, one day we were working and cooking and cleaning, and oh, a letter from Prabhupada arrived. Everybody stop whatever they're doing. It's like the gopis, they were doing so many things. And Krishna played his flute, they dropped everything. We all ran. And the devotee, who was taking care of the mail at the time, Urukram Prabhu, he stood up and said, so we have a letter for one of our devotees. You know, I was thinking maybe it would, obviously it was one of the senior devotees. You know, I'd only been a devotee. He said, today Prabhupada has sent a letter to Bhakta Brian. And then somebody next to me said, that's you. That's me. I stood up and then I took the letter and then I read it out loud. My dear Bhakta Brian, please accept my blessings. I want to thank you so much for your letter and for your very kind donations towards my newly founded Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. I have information from the senior devotees in the Detroit temple that you are doing very nicely in Krishna consciousness. So my request to you is that you always continue to follow in the footsteps of advanced devotees. Become fixed up in Krishna consciousness, and in a very short time, I will accept you as my duly initiated disciple. When I read that, it was like the perfection. There are certain things which are, I think, in the hearts of Vaishnavas are etched, like they say, etched in stone. It's just, that was one of the things that are in my heart. It was like, I think it was Mukunda who had made some offense by going to some lectures he wasn't supposed to attend, not very devotional lectures. And when Lord Chaitanya heard that, he ostracized him. I will not allow this Mukunda to come into my association. But the devotees insisted. It was just a small deviation. He's a very wonderful devotee. And Mahaprabhu stated, I will only accept the service of this Mukundadatta in about 1 million births. And when that news reached that devotee, he started dancing in ecstasy. Oh, he has said he will definitely grant me audience in 1 million years. Hariva! Because how long have we been in this material world? Since time immemorial. That means you can't even count. That's a way of saying you can't count with your limited mind and senses. When I heard that Prabhupada was going to grant me initiation, I knew he had already accepted me in his heart, which is the real initiation. I was overjoyed. And then he signed it, your every well wisher, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, P.S. Postscript. I very much appreciate your feelings of separation from me. I am also missing my Guru Maharaj. I am also feeling his separation. But I always feel that he is watching over and protecting me. Then there were Prabhupada's initials, just AC, like that. So at that time, that was nice, but it was that letter that really gave me solace, that really gave me comfort. Years later, when Srila Prabhupada actually departed this planet, I can tell you frankly, We never thought Prabhupada would leave. It was as if that joyous life of Krishna consciousness would go on forever, as it should be, and it will be, one day in the spiritual world. But because we fell from grace into this material world, we had to experience that separation now, which, as they say, separation makes the heart grow fonder. It was a very difficult moment when Prabhupada left, but my experience is that, whereas in material life, when someone passes away, you know, time heals the wound as you develop other relationship in your memory. It seems to me that in Krishna consciousness, when my spiritual master passed away, the opposite was true. I become, my attachment to him grows with every day, every month, every year in his separation. So that letter, which was unfortunately lost in time, still remains etched within my heart. And sometimes when I am missing Srila Prabhupada, because we do miss Srila Prabhupada, he's our savior, he's our deliverer from grace, he's our eternal guide in the spirit, he's the dearmost person in my life. When I'm missing him, I just close my eyes and I remember that postscript. I'm also missing my Guru Maharaj, but I always feel that he's watching over and protecting me. It seems as if Prabhupada knew exactly what to say to each disciple to bring him to Krishna consciousness, to maintain him, and to deliver him. A year later, Prabhupada expressed his desire that some of his senior devotees from the United States go to Europe to further pioneer the Krishna consciousness movement there. Great stalwarts in Krishna consciousness, great pioneers in Krishna consciousness, like Shyamasundara Prabhu and Mother Malati. These are great pioneers to be eulogized for generations to come. Guru Das and so many wonderful devotees who went to London and established, and other devotees went different places, but Prabhupada had heard about Europe. He'd visited once or twice London, and he heard that he needed some senior men, so my GBC, my temple president, volunteered to go. Now when I heard that, this adventurous spirit awoke within me, because I'd read in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I am adventure. The adventure of what? You know, going out and finding the secrets of this material world? No. The adventure of spreading Krishna consciousness. That's how we see it. That's real adventure. Not going and pioneering materialistic civilization in some new part of the world, pioneering space. No, real adventure is going, depending on the Lord, and opening up new temples, making new devotees, translating into foreign languages, Prabhupada's books. This is real adventure. So when I heard that, I went to my temple president and I said, can I go with you? Well, I think it would probably be good if I had an assistant. Do you know Europe? Now, by Krishna's arrangement, I'd been to Europe a couple of years before. I spent a couple weeks there as a tourist. So I told a little bit of a white lie. I said, I know Europe like the back of my hand. I know London. I know Barcelona. I know Zurich. I know Sydney. No, I mean I... I got caught. He said, do you know Paris, France? I said, no, but I can learn. He said, okay. You could come with me if you can get us on the same plane as Srila Prabhupada, who's going from New York City to London in 2 weeks' time. That was a challenge. Just to see if I could be like a secretary and do things, be efficient, not just a talker. So within minutes, I was in the office and I was making a phone calls, and I called up, what in those days we had, TWA, Trans World Airlines. I called up their number, 1-800 number, and I got some representative of ticket sales. And I said, excuse me, ma'am, I'd like two seats on flight 103 from New York to London on whatever it was, July 2nd. She said, let me see. Oh, I'm sorry, sir. That flight is already overbooked. And we have 164 people on the waiting list. It's impossible. And I said, no, no, you have to understand. I want to serve my spiritual master. I'm going to serve my spiritual master. You have to understand. Brahmanda Brahmati Konya Bhagavan Ji. Guru Krishna Prasad Bhai Bhakti Lad Bij. But the living entity is transmigrating from time immemorial, from one universe to the next, from one species of life, from one body to the next. It's only by great mercy he comes. Excuse me, sir, what are you talking about? I said, he's my guru, you don't understand. Tadvidi paripatena, pariprasana sevaya, upadikshanti tekenam, ganinas tatvadai. Every intelligent man and woman should have a guru. Do you have a guru? Sir, I don't have a clue what you are talking about. So I got like, I said, do you love your father? She said, yes, actually I do love my father. My father raised me and was always loving and caring and educated me and put me through school and this and that. I said, well, it's something like that. This is my spiritual father. He's helping me, like your father helped you advance in material life. He's helping me in spiritual life. Do you believe in God? She said, yes, I'm a good Christian. I said, well, just like Jesus, he's helped. So I was preaching to her like this. So after 20 minutes, she said, just excuse me one moment, my supervisor is calling me. So she went, she came back. She said, the good Lord must be looking down on you, boy. The supervisor, while I was speaking with the supervisor, we got two cancellations. And she was just about to put, you know, one of the 164 on the waiting list or overbooked or whatever. And I said, no, there's a nice young boy on the phone who wants to be with his spiritual father. Let's move them to the front. And she agreed. So you have the seats. A couple of weeks later, we drove to the Detroit, from Detroit to New York, and I give a summary of the pastime where we consider a pastime because it's all with Srila Prabhupada. Everything he did was a pastime. His grace was that we were allowed to participate in his wonderful devotional service to the Lord, as unqualified as we were. Just like Prabhupada said one time, Lord Ramachandra conquered Lanka and Ravana with monkeys and bears. He said, in the same way, I'm conquering this world with my disciples. So it was his grace that he allowed us, unqualified as we were, to participate in his pastimes, spreading Krishna consciousness. We described how we arrived at the airport and the security stopped Prabhupada and wanted to see what was in his white bag, and then I opened the bag, and then they let us through. We walked. I received my three instructions about how the living entity becomes covered and how we awaken our spiritual qualities by engaging in devotional service. And then we went up the steps to the plane, and we sat down, and it was just me and Prabhupada. Padumna, his secretary, had not arrived on the plane yet, and there was one other person, I forget who it was, but there were four of us, but there was just me and Prabhupada. So we're sitting, and I'm very nervous because I'm sitting next to his divine grace, and I had not had that much association up until that moment, personal association with Srila Prabhupada. And although he was small in stature, he seemed as big as a giant to me because of his pure devotional qualities. And I was sitting there, so Prabhupada looked at me, he said, so, Indranumna, is there some prasadam? And I froze, because it wasn't my service to arrange for Prabhupada. It was actually the secretary who obviously had that prasadam, nice prasadam. But just as we had gone through the security, someone handed me a plastic bag with oranges in it and a little knife. In those days, you could carry a little knife on the plane like that, a little knife and a little plate. And I just remember, I looked at me, I said, oh, Prabhupada, there's oranges. He said, oh, perfect, he said, that's very nice. Put the table down like that, and I, you know, I was so, my hand was shaking. I'm actually preparing prasadam for my spiritual master. And I cut the oranges into four sections. There was three of them like that, and I put them on the plate. I handed it to Prabhupada. Took that propone. We're making a lot of noise. Then he would take the peel after he'd sucked all the juice out, like that, he'd put a peel, right? And I was like, he went through all, every single one, he, like that. Then some water. So, Indradyumna, you're going to take prasad? I looked in the bag, there were no oranges left. So in my foolishness, ever the fool, in front of the guru, I said, Srila Prabhupada, there's no prasadam left, you ate it all. So Prabhupada looked at me and he smiled. This, you know, another thing captured in my heart. Closed my eyes in the difficult times. Smile, Prabhupada. He said, no, Indradyumna, there's maha, maha prasad. So I, oh, yes, Srila Prabhupada, thank you very much. So I, wow! Because in those days, to get some maha from Prabhupada was like, it was almost impossible because the secretaries, you know, and the sannyasis like Brahmananda and the big boys, you know, they'd be there also. We have to come afterwards like a little mouse and get them aground or something, you know. And here I had these orange peels. I was just so overwhelmed and just so happy, and I just picked up the orange peel and put it in my mouth. Have you ever eaten orange rind? It stings. What Prabhupada was expecting was I would also suck a little juice out and then, you know, take that and throw the orange rinds away. What I did is I started eating the orange rind. My lips were burning. It was, there were tears coming down my eyes. But I was in bliss. I ate every one. I had one left. I looked at Prabhupada. Prabhupada was like this. Like, what are you doing? Sometimes we hear how the mercy of the spiritual master is very sweet. Sometimes it's very bitter. So I stopped. I took that last orange peel and I put it in my pocket. You know, when you get to London, you're supposed to declare any fruits or vegetables. So I took it and I wrapped it in a cloth and in another cloth and another. There's no way I was going to give up that orange peel to, you know, customs and immigration. And actually, I think it lasted about 6 months. Every day before going and saying time, I take a little bite. Guru Maharaj's Mahaprasad. And later I read in great ecstasy how Madhavendra Puri, when he received that cup of sweet rice from Kirakori Gopinath, he hid that sweet rice under his skirt and it was delivered by the Pujari later on to Madhavendra Puri, who was humbly hiding someplace else, not wanting to be recognized as a great devotee. We hear how he relished the sweet rice and then he, through the months that came, he'd break down that little cup and he'd eat the remnants of that. So eventually, passengers came, Pradyumna was there, there were three of us sitting in the row there, and boom, the plane took off. And after the announcements were made and people settled in, and then it was time for the movie. So, you know, everyone closed the shutters, the shades like that, and the plane became dark, and then, boom, the movie. So while that's all going on, I take out my Bhagavad Gita. Now, those days we had Bhagavad Gita bigger. So I took it out and I said, I'm going to watch movies. And Prabhupada says, these movies are Maya. Dehi nosmin yatha dehe, kovanam yovanam jada. You know, like a little kid tries to impress his father with his, you know, first steps in life. I'm trying to impress, you know, someone. They start screening the movie, and I put the Bhagavad Gita right in front of my face. Going through the verses I know. Sarva dharmam paricca, mame kam saranam prasya. And then, all of a sudden, I heard Prabhupada laughing. I said, what's so funny? And I looked over, and Prabhupada was watching the movie. And he was laughing and laughing and laughing, so I thought, okay, what the heck? And it was really funny. You know, Charlie Chaplin was really, he's really funny. You know, simple, pure humor. Just, you know, like the old days, something simple and pure and so then. But afterwards, after the movie was over and the screen's off, I think, uh-oh, that was, we weren't supposed to watch movies. So I leaned over and I said, Pradyumna, Prabhupada. So I said, Pradyumna, I have to speak to you. I have to speak, come to the back of the plane. So we both excused ourselves. We have to go to the washroom. We went back and I said, look, we're not supposed to watch movies. So, like, what if anybody finds out? We were, I mean, can you ask Prabhupada why we're watching movies? He said, no, you ask. I said, no, you ask. I said, you asked Prabhupada why we watched him. I said, no. So anyway, he's senior. He was a secretary. So he went. And I was watching as he asked Prabhupada. Prabhupada was very cool, authoritative. And he said something and Pradyumna smiled. He came, I was still waiting back by the washroom. He came back. He said, Prabhupada gave an amazing answer. He said that Krishna is the source of all original things. And Charlie Chaplin's humor is very original. Prabhupada said he used to watch it when he was a little kid, those little silent movies. So he said, Krishna is the source of all original things, and Charlie Chaplin's humor is original. Therefore, Prabhupada said, I was seeing Krishna in the humor of Charlie Chaplin. What were you seeing? So Pradyumna said, well, not so much. So Prabhupada said, we have to learn to see Krishna everywhere. So I was satisfied by that answer. I thought it was very wonderful. So then we landed, and when we landed, I was thinking, wow! We're going to go to the London Temple, and they're going to, Prabhupada's going to lead a kirtan, and they're going to have a wonderful feast, and maybe Paul McCartney will be there, maybe John Lennon, maybe Ringo Starr. I mean, after all, I heard they're preaching to the Beatles. I can meet the Beatles, and I'm, oh, it's going to be so much ecstasy seeing Prabhupada in Bury Place Temple. And I was just, there's one book that we read when we were a young child called Great Expectations. I had great expectations. And as we were gathering our bags to go outside, I could hear the kirtan party. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. You know, hundreds of devotees just made your heart just boom, boom, boom. And then Shamsundar, who'd come to pick us up, he said, oh, Prabhupada says one of his suitcases is missing. So he went and he asked the people there. He said, maybe it will come later. He said, someone has to stay behind and wait for the suitcase. As soon as he said that, I hid myself behind a little pillar there. And, you know, they were talking who could stay behind. Then I heard my name, I heard Shamsundar. He said, Prabhupada, maybe that boy Indradumna can stay behind. Prabhupada said, yes, he can stay. Oh, my heart just dropped. Oh, my. I started cursing that suitcase. I waited about 2 hours. And when that suitcase, they finally retrieved it. I don't know what had happened, but it had been misplaced. You know, but I couldn't, because that was the suitcase that had all of Prabhupada's books that he was using for his translation. Commentaries in Sanskrit and Bengali by Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, Bhakti. And I tried to pick it up, and I was a young man, a strong young man, you know, 19, 20. I couldn't pick it up. It was so heavy, I put on a car, and I drag it to the airport. Oh, you suitcase, you make me miss Prabhupada's lecture. And the prasadam. And I was tired, and it was a long flight from New York to London. I was tired and hot, depressed. And, you know, I hailed a taxi. It was actually raining, typical London weather. They used to say the sun never set on the British Empire because of their sinful activities here in India. Now the sun never rises on the British Empire. So it was raining and dark, and I put the suitcase in. The man said, sir, where would you like to go? I said, 7 Bury Place. He said, did you have a bad day? I said, yes, I had a really bad day. Just get me there really quick. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Suitcase. Stuck in the traffic, typical London evening traffic. Finally we get there. Now it's really pouring cats and dogs. I pay the money, I get out of the taxi, walk in the door, open the door. I'm thinking, geez, at least I know they'll save me some prasadam. And I get in and there's all these brahmacharis laying on the floor. with these white paper plates there with streaks of fingers going through the ghee. Like when you finish the feast, you know, you just kind of like that. There's nothing left on the plates, little pieces of pakora, some of these streaks with the fingers. Like. And the first thing I said, is there any prasadam left? And they said, who are you? I said, well, I'm Indra Dumadas from the Detroit Temple. I'm accompanying my temple president here to Europe to do some preaching. I was on the plane with Srila Prabhupada. I said, how was the lecture? Oh, you missed the best lecture that Prabhupada ever gave. And he led the kirtan. Everyone was dancing in ecstasy. And this was the best prasadam we ever had. I said, thanks, guys. I mean, that was like the cherry on top of the cake. I was just devastated. I said, okay, can you guys take this suitcase up to Prabhupada's room? Oh, Prabhu, you know. I mean, like, we can't even move, you know. We're just like relishing all the nectar. We can't even move. I said, come on, dude, somebody help me. Psst, can you help me? No. Oh, that suitcase. So I took the suitcase and I started. Step, I think Prabhupada was on the second or third floor, steep steps like that. Boom, 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 up the steps, backwards, like they can. Finally, there was an area that I saw on the door, a plaque, His Divine Grace, brass, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Tired, confused, neophyte, I didn't knock. I opened the door. And I turned around backwards and dragged the suitcase in. I'm dragging it into the room. Suddenly, someone says, watch out! You're going to bump into Srila Prabhupada! And I froze. And I turned around, and there was Prabhupada right in front of me in a beautiful pink and white gumsha getting ready to have his massage. And he looked as beautiful as the rising sun. I'd never seen him without his clothes on. He was so beautiful and effulgent. One time Prabhupada was crossing the street in London and one of the policemen grabbed Shamsundar and said, look, your spiritual master is glowing like the sun. It was obvious even to the non-devotee. So I immediately went down on the floor. Namam Vishnu Badaya Krishna Vishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedantas Namaste Saraswati Devi Govardhana. And I waited. I considered I'd made a great offense by entering in such an ignoble way without proper respect and etiquette. It was a very offensive behavior, so I was down on the ground expecting the worst. Lo and behold, after a few moments, right on my back, a huge, hard slap. Whoa! I was a young man, but that, boom, oh, right here. I've often wanted to tattoo it on my back there. If I ever got a tattoo, it would be that tattoo. Really hard. And then Prabhupada said something. And then I waited, and then I was right at his feet, looking at his lotus toes, and his feet turned around and he walked away. Then only I had the courage to stand up. I was shaking. I didn't know if Prabhupada was pleased with me, or I didn't know if he was displeased with me, because I didn't hear what he had to say. And Prabhupada's servant was standing there with his mouth open. He said, I never saw Prabhupada do that before. He slapped you on the back. I said, yeah, I know. Then he had a big smile. He said, it was so nice what he said to you. I said, Prabhu, I was too nervous. I couldn't hear what Prabhupada said. What did he say? He said, oh, it was so nice. He gave you a nice benediction. I said, tell me, what did he say? Prabhupada said to you, so much endeavor in this material world. When I take you home back to Godhead, everything will be easy and sublime. I'm going to conclude with one more story because a very senior devotee to me, His Holiness Umapati Swami Maharaj, he told me to stop, okay. All right, I won't glorify you, but anyway, he's a great devotee. So those words, again, are there in the heart, that so much endeavor in this world, what was it to carry a suitcase up the stairs for Prabhupada? But he appreciated the most insignificant service. And when we do go through great endeavor, sometimes to spread his teachings in this world, it's not easy. One time we came back from Sankirtan and Prabhupada asked me, how was the Sankirtan party? I said, Prabhupada, it was difficult, the people weren't appreciating the chanting, he interrupted me. He said, when did I ever say that preaching is easy? I said, Prabhupada, you never said like that. So I said, just you continue. But when the difficulties are there, and you know, especially in where we're preaching sometimes in Europe, in Poland, we have opposition. Sometimes we have very fierce opposition. Sometimes it's difficult. Wears you down. So I close my eyes and I remember those words from Prabhupada. So much endeavor in this world. But when I take you back to Godhead, everything will be easy and sublime. So back to Godhead means an eternal life of wonderful service to Prabhupada and Radha and Krishna. So surely I can spare a few moments of this life helping Prabhupada push through this movement, even in times of adversity and opposition. Because really, as we get older, we realize there's only a few short years left, so let us work hard in that sense. So one last story. Prabhupada came and visited us several times in Paris. And one particularly one memory I cherish in particular was, you know, whenever Prabhupada would come again, we'd have these big, we'd renovate the temple and paint it, and deities have new outfits, etc., etc. So this required a lot of Lakshmi. So in Paris, our temple president, we would have a big marathon, and the idea would be that the first two devotees who won the marathon in the book distribution, they would be able to wash Prabhupada's feet when he came for the initial reception. So for me, that was like, I was going to do anything and everything that I could to get the honor of washing His Divine Grace's feet. So we had, the marathon was a 3-month marathon. And myself and one other devotee, a godbrother of mine named Bhugarbha Prabhu, we worked like a team, and we wanted to work together. So what we would do is we would, for 3 months, we went out every morning into the metros, the underground system in Paris, the metro system. We would go in when it was still dark with the first passengers on the way to work. We would go and we would distribute pamphlets and small books like that. And we wouldn't come out of the metro till like 9 or 10 at night. We'd be there underground the whole day. We'd take our lunch, you know, in the train, or we'd sleep on the train, the metro train as it went around the city. We'd wake up. It's like this. For 3 months, we did not see the light of day. We never saw a sunrise, we never saw a sunset. We were just so eager to get that special service of touching His Divine Grace's lotus feet and maybe some of the remnants, because we'd heard that the Charanamrita, because we'd heard that there are several things by which you get great mercy. The remnants of the food of the spiritual master, the dust from his feet, and the water that has washed his feet. So we felt quite fallen and new and wanting to make advance, so thought we'll get some of the water. So somehow or other we won the marathon. I won't tell who came first or second, but we won the marathon. So we had to decide who was going to do the washing of the feet, who was going to hold the bowl. So we flipped the coin. And I got to pour the water, he got to hold the bowl. So we went out and collected some more water. We got this beautiful, huge silver bowl and a big pitcher, unusually sized pitcher. When we came back, the temple president said, and that's a lot of water to wash Prabhupada's feet. We said, no, that's okay, it's all right. So we had a plan, a transcendental plan. We heard, beg, borrow, or steal, but get the nectar of the holy name. So Prabhupada came, it was a wonderful reception, and you know, we were there waiting by the Vyasasan, and he sat on the Vyasasan, and Prabhupada came, and I placed his feet very carefully into the silver, big silver bowl. Even Prabhupada had big eyes looking how big it was, a huge bowl like this. And we put rose petals on his feet and everything, and then they were having the Guru Puja at the same time going on. So devotees were engaged, and the guru pushed off in flowers, and I was pouring the water very slowly, this big pitcher, halfway through the guru puja, and then the bowl was filled up. We had to actually pull Prabhupada's feet out of this little pond of water almost, and we dried them. And then I looked at Bhagarbha, 1, 2, 3, go. And we took that bowl and we disappeared into the crowd. I kind of hit it like that. He had a kind of a cloth like that. He hit it. And we went, the devotees were having kirtan, and we went up the stairs. This was the temple who had some stairs. We went up to the first floor and there was an office. We took that bowl, the two of us, instead of like throwing the water on the devotees, we just kept it and we went up the stairs, and some brahmacharis saw what we were doing. And they started following us, 10 of them. And so we started running. We made a copy of the key to the office without the temple president's knowing it. We opened the temple president's office and we misplaced his original key, by the way. We went inside and we slammed the door behind us. And so we slammed the door, boom, 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 boom. You could tell the brahmacharis running into the door. Let us in, let us in. We share the nectar, share the nectar. So we're leaning against the door like that. They're banging. We have this huge bowl of liquid nectar, Prabhupada's charanamrita. And we'd also bought ourselves 2 silver cups, a bit of an indulgence there. Because what was going in those cups was worthy of the silver cup itself. So I took them out and I polished them a little bit. Meanwhile, there's this bang, the kirtan's roaring downstairs and the brahmacharis pounding the door. As far as we are concerned, we had all the time in the world. We'd worked hard for 3 months and we'd received this is special grace, and we knew Bhagavad was a very erudite, scholarly devotee, and we discussed this matter many times. We sat very calmly, although the door was going like that. I said, may I do the honors? And I took the cup and I poured into him, and then I poured into mine, and then we looked at each other and went, Shri Prabhupada ki jai. And then it was just dip your cup in. And we relished. I don't know how it was possible for a human being to consume that much liquid. When I looked at Bhagarbha, we couldn't move. And we even went to the extent at the bottom there was 2 drops, so we split the drop in half with our fingers like that. Shantushti. I think it's only because of that mercy that I still find myself in this Krishna conscious movement. Otherwise, I can't explain why I'm still here, allowed to render service. So we sat there for a few minutes, just reflecting on our good fortune. And brahmacharis are still banging, let us in, let us in. We want some of the mercy. So I just took the key, and the door flew open. These brahmacharis came tumbling in. They turned out, where is it? Where is the nectar? So I turned to Bhagarbha. I said, what nectar? He went, haven't got a clue. So the brahmacharis, they saw the bowl was empty, and they looked at us, you know, these big smiles on our faces, you know. And then the temple president walked, what's going on in here? Nothing, no, we're just getting ready to go down for the lecture. Like, get down there immediately. Then we walked downstairs, and Prabhupada delivered a wonderful lecture. And this way we received some exceptional mercy from his divine grace, Om Vishnu Pad, Paramahamsa, Hari Bhajagataraya, Ushru Sisima. Chilesi Bhaktivedanta Swami, Shri Prabhupada Ki. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.